I always struggle with how to do an introduction for Father's Day. It seems like it's harder and harder to come up with some way to introduce the topic. And as I wrestled with that this year, I thought, hey, how about dad jokes? You know, those are kind of popular right now. And so, you know, it's so easy to find good jokes like April showers bring Mayflowers, but what do Mayflowers bring? Pilgrims, yeah. What's a funny mountain called? Hilarious. No commentaries, please. And probably those jokes do make you think of dad, you know. Hopefully they do. I share with you the story of the little boy. He goes out with his father, and the little boy says to his dad, he says, "Dad, why is the sky blue?" And the dad says, I don't really know. He said, "Well, why is the grass green?" And he said, "I don't know that either." And he says, "Well, how do the birds fly?" And he said, "Not really sure." And the kid says, "Do you mind me asking all these questions?" And the dad said, "Well, how else are you going to learn, son?" We talked it from Proverbs on Mother's Day, from Proverbs chapter 31. And my plan had been for us to look at Proverbs as father as well. And so we jumped to the first part of this book. First seven chapters or so are a narrative that includes instruction. And in those chapters, it's very much a father talking to a son. In fact, it says, "my son," over and over again. Now, there are versions that are starting to translate that "child," and I think you'll see that more and more. But right now, that's kind of a traditional thought there. You go back to what's the point of the book of Proverbs, and what we don't know. It's just a collection of wisdom, but primarily coming from Solomon. The theory about the book of Proverbs is that it was actually the textbook for the young princes as they were taught the things that they would need to know in order to be good men and good leaders. And certainly that makes sense. But over and over again, we see in those first seven chapters this emphasis on the voice of wisdom. God is saying to a father, share this information. God directs fathers and mothers to share certain things so that the children can be prepared to be what God wants them to be. If you look carefully at those chapters, after a brief introduction, then in chapter 1, verse 8, there's a listen. And then over and over again at the beginning of those chapters, are listen, 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 listen. And what parent hasn't experienced that? Of saying, listen, 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 you know, I got your attention for just a minute. Okay, listen again. And listening becomes really critically important. It doesn't matter what you're saying if nobody's listening. And so as parents, that becomes part of the challenge, to find a way to get our kids to listen to us. As you look through those chapters, you get some topics that it appears to be quite important for the father to share with the son. And it's teaching the son how to be a father, how to be an adult male. But it's also these things that the father is going to be very much concerned about in terms of the behavior and the development of this child. And so I'd like to look quickly at the four that I see. I'm just pulling them out from looking at that entire segment there. But the first thing that jumps out to me is safety. Proverbs 1, verse 18. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Then Proverbs 3, starting in verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your hearts. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. There are numerous mentions in the New Testament and the Old Testament of this principle of listening to parental advice actually producing a longer life. You live longer if you listen to your folks. and it goes all the way back to riding your tricycle in the street. Mom and dad know that that's dangerous. And so they're going to try to tell you the things that are dangerous. And the problem with that is every child is growing toward independence. I want to do it myself. I want to take the initiative. I want to make the judgment call here. And so we struggle throughout the life of the child, trying to make sure that in some areas the child is listening, because we do know there's no way to teach getting hit by a car. There's the consequences of that are way too severe. You can't allow a child to have natural consequences. It has to be different than that. And there are numerous things that are like that as well. And so the parental responsibility, the father's responsibility, is to provide safety. Now, dads are usually pretty straightforward about that. You know, okay, the house is going to be secure, and, you know, I'm the guy who locks the doors, and I'm the guy who makes sure that the house is here and proper and prepared, and if someone were to try to get in the door or whatever, that primary responsibility seems to fall there, and that's a good idea. But at the same time, we need to be understanding about all those other threats. It's not just the obvious threats. It's about the things that maybe we bring into our homes or allow in our homes that really shouldn't be there at all. Proverbs chapter 10, or 4, verses 10 and 11. Listen, my son, accept what I say. The years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. Would it be nice if you just said to your child, there's the straight path, walk it? And your child said, okay, I'll do that 110%. You know, there are kids like that. It happens sometimes. Typically, there's some wanderings from the path. And it's kind of hard as parents sit back, especially dads sometimes, and allow our kids to make mistakes. In this time of helicopter parenting, we tend to not want to allow our children to do that. You know, no mistakes. And I can remember my kids making mistakes. Jonathan one time, and he was very, very little, kept seeing this toy that was advertised on television, and he wanted to save up his money and buy the toy. And it was like $40, and that was an awful lot to a little kid. And so he saved up. We went and bought it. He got it out of the box, and he said, is this it? Yeah, this is it. Can we take it back? Well, I don't know if they're going to want to take it back after you play with it a little bit. It wasn't what it seemed. He was pulled in by the illusion. And there's so many things like that. So many things that we as fathers, that we as moms, know how this is going to turn out. And throughout this opening of Proverbs, you hear this constant repetition of, listen, 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 listen to mom, listen to dad. Because they'll help you to see these things that are going to cause you difficulty, going to cause you problems. At the end of the lesson, I'll mention the prodigal son. How hard was it for dad to watch this boy go off and waste this inheritance that the father is sharing with him? It wasn't just about the money, though. When you spend your life in riotous living, we don't know how long that took. We know he's in another country. We know he's enjoying himself. We know he's going through his dad's money. Did he do any things that would cause permanent consequences in his life? Be hard to imagine that he didn't. And it's hard sometimes to see a child make mistakes. And there are times when the mistake is too great. You just have to say, no, 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 we're not going to make that mistake. We're not going to play in the traffic. But as they get older, they have the opportunities to make their own choices about things, then it can be so hurtful, so painful to see them choose to make mistakes. And yet all of us know how much we learn when we go exactly through that process. The other thing that we don't talk about very much is that when you look through the first seven chapters of Proverbs, you see that the father spends an awful lot of time talking to the son about sexuality. And I think the obvious reason for that is you can complicate your life so quickly and so easily when you begin to make mistakes in this area. Proverbs 5:20, "Why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife? Why embrace the bosom of a wayward woman?" Proverbs 5:18, the father says, "May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth." There's a way that sexuality is going to be taken care of in terms of God's plan. That's within the marriage. And when you look at other people's spouses and you're tempted by that, then you're really in dangerous territory and dangerous ground. And you don't have to look very far to find the real life examples of how that really happens, how that really occurs. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." We're not just talking about warning a child against adultery. We're talking about those small things we call small things that foster types of behavior. Sometimes, unfortunately, when men get together, even Christian men, the language will deteriorate just a little bit. The points of the jokes will deteriorate a bit. And those are a little off color or a little disrespectful or various kinds of things. And our sons are listening. Our daughters are listening. It's important that we lift up that standard and maintain that standard to the highest possible level, because the father is teaching the son how to deal with other people in his life, especially those people who might be potential spouses. Proverbs chapter 6, starting verse 25. "Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes." And then just a couple of verses further down, it starts in verse 27. "Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished." You think, "Oh, I can do this. It won't have any effect on me. Or it won't have as dramatic effect. Or it won't be as complicated as some people's lives." And the voice of wisdom here continues to remind us that you're dealing with things that are very, very dangerous, that have tremendous complication in your life and in the lives of other people as well. The third thing that comes out of this section is the father is concerned about the evil influence of people in the child's life. I told you before, when Jonathan was very little, he was just very personable and very gregarious. He liked to talk to people in elevators. You know, the elevator door would close and Jonathan would say, "I got a cat." And that would typically start a conversation with somebody. And he just really liked to interact with people. And it scared us very much, because there are people who like to interact with children and you don't want that interaction to take place. And so as a preschool child, we have to say, "Jonathan, there are people there out there who will hurt you. You can't trust everybody." And as I've told you before, he took it upon himself to identify those people in public. And he even at one point in time said, "I bet that man would kill you." You know, it's like, wait, you know, you're going to get us in a lot of trouble here while we're trying to not go in that particular direction. But you have to do that. You have to say to your children, if there are people out there who want to hurt you, there are ideas that are being spread that are damaging, you have to deal with those things, and you have to give some preparation there. Proverbs 1, verse 10. "If sinful men entice you, do not give in to them." Proverbs 1, 15 through 16. "My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood." How do we do that? We can just pontificate and use these things, Or we can actually make the choices in our life that demonstrate that we aren't fooling with evil. We're standing back as far as we can stand. We're getting away from it as much as possible. We're not inviting it. We're not allowing it. We're not tolerating it. We're really making the point, I understand that I can be hurt. I understand how much evil can hurt. And as a parent, nothing scares you anymore than to see your child developing relationships with people that you think are going to harm them or are going to bring evil into their lives. That's very, very scary. We hope we can teach them to recognize the fruit, as the Bible makes it very clear that we're supposed to do. And the way we do that is by doing it ourselves and showing them what the process is and how you take information and you make judgments based on information that is handed to us from God about the choices we're going to make socially and otherwise. Now, we live in a very hard world. And sometimes it's impossible to protect our children totally from everything that's out there. Our hearts break when we see things in the media where, against a parent's will or against a parent's intervention, people are harmed and people who are hurt. You may remember that in the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, it took a long time for there to be action taken there, and there's been a lot said about that. But this story didn't get as much play as it should have. But there was one mother who went to that school, and she was not allowed entrance into the school. And she went anyway. She went into the lockdown school and found her second grader and her fourth grader and brought them outside because it was more important to her. Evil is everywhere. We do our very best to protect as completely and fully as we can. And then there's that moment where we trust them back and say, God, please, please watch over them. The last thing is the nature of wisdom, or what you would define as spiritual development. I do want to say, and I've said this before, and I'll say it many, many, many times, there's been great progress made in what the role of fatherhood in our society and in the church in the last 50 years. And I'm not trying to praise a particular group, but the boomer fathers really had a lot to do with changing that perspective. Those of us who were raised by fathers in the 50s and the 60s, you know, in the 50s and the 60s, the dad was supposed to bring home the bacon and discipline the kids. And that was kind of it, you know, and mom did everything else. And then there was a changing of the guard. There was that understanding that, well, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. We became more aware of God's placing upon fathers the responsibility to provide for spiritual nurturing as well. And I see so many dads who have done this, and so many dads who have stepped up to that, and so many couples that have worked together to make that a reality. And so so many young dads, so many middle-aged dads really provide excellent, excellent examples for being able to do and able to make a change, even in the course of what society might be doing sometimes. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, go down through verse 6. This is a little longer reading. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. It's what dad really wants. You know, he wants the child to behave. He wants the child to grow. He wants the child to be safe. He wants the child to make good choices. But ultimately, what does he want? He wants the child to be able to make independent choices, to have the ability to do that and have the discipline to do that as well. Understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. We went home today and somebody said, guess what? They found silver all over the neighborhood. What would you do the rest of the afternoon? You probably get out there with a shovel and see if you can find some, or get your metal detector out. I imagine most people would at least want to do that. And this passage is saying that this wisdom that God presents us is very, very valuable. And if you knew you had something that valuable materially, you'd search for it till you could find it. And it's this understanding, this knowledge, this appreciation of God, who he is, what he wants, and what he's willing to provide us with, that we're constantly trying to communicate to our own children and others that we care about as well. Proverbs 3, 21 and 22. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you and ornament to your neck. When you make good choices, you can almost wear that like jewelry, so that it stands out, that people can see it, people know about it. I'd like to look at some pictures real quick. Andy, look at the next one. Start and watch this picture and the next four afterwards. Okay, one more. We'll stop there. What do those pictures have in common? They're fake. They're not real. Those are AI-generated pictures of perfect dads and perfect kids. Well, what's the point? Let's go back to the next picture. This is a real picture. This is a real picture, and it comes across differently than the fake picture. And so much about fatherhood is just a little bit artificial. You know, you have the wisdom, or not the wisdom, you have the advice of do this, do that. You could go into the bookstore and you could buy all these books about how to be the perfect father. And we kind of hold up this example, and then people come along and they say, yeah, that's a real pretty picture, but I could never be that. You're right. We can't be perfect, but we can be real. We can be the real father who loves. We can be the real father who cares, who protects, who helps to weed out the influence, who gives an example for how to live in the sexual part of life. The father who has himself come to the place where he understands knowledge and wisdom, and the source of all that is from God. And when we get there, we have a lot to share and a lot to communicate as a real dad talking to a real child. I stand before you this morning, and I can say to you, and I really believe I could say this, my children don't need me anymore. Now, there may be some things that happen later on that change that. But as I look at the two families that they have, it will be okay if I'm not here, because they're at the place where they can handle that. Now, does that mean I'm ready to go? No. I'd like to see some high school graduations, and, you know, if I got to stay around for a wedding or two, that would be wonderful. I'd love to do that. But I don't worry, because they've demonstrated that it's going to be all right. With God's help, it's going to be okay. That prodigal son, that prodigal father, the father of the prodigal son, let that boy walk off with a small fortune and heard the things that he was doing and the ways that he was squandering that wealth. I can't begin to imagine all the things he felt. But if you read that story carefully, it said that he was out there on the road looking for the boy. How long has the boy been gone? I don't know, but it's got to be a longer period of time. Is that something Dad did every day? Is that something that Dad was constantly going to do? Maybe this is the day. Maybe this is the time. Maybe this is the moment when he'll come down that road coming back home. And one day it really, really happened. We can't be perfect fathers, but we do have a perfect heavenly Father that helps us through that process so that we can be better than we would have been and do the very best that we possibly can for those we love so very much. Don Clayton has written a book. It's called Timothy, My Son, My Teacher. It's about a special needs child that he and Phyllis had, a child who died relatively early in their lives. But this book is really, really encouraging because he tries to tell you all the things that this son taught him. We learn from all of these experiences, and we learn in all kinds of ways. Probably every parent here today could sit down and tell you things that their children have taught them. What a wonderful relationship. What a wonderful situation God brings to us. He asks that we involve him and we use it to the fullest. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for the family unit. We thank you for the responsibility that you've given dads. Father, we pray that we might own up and face up and be the person that you need us to be in that role. Give us strength and give us courage. Give us wisdom. Father, help us to understand, but most of all, help us to belong to you so that we can help those little ones belong to you as well. We pray this to your precious Son. Amen.